the same time as Peter was away down the street fishing in the Sea of Galilee. You see that from the previous two verses, the last two verses in the previous chapter. I want to take verse 3 this morning as our text on true and biblical conversion, and we look a little at verse 4 as well. But the first thing we want to look at is the context. My first point is the context. In what situation did Jesus say these words? Well, the Lord had been teaching. He had been talking about faith in chapter 17 and verse 20. He'd been talking about prayer and fasting in chapter 17 and verse 21. Then he'd been talking to the disciples about his death, 17:22 and 23. And then lastly in the chapter, he'd been talking about tax in verse 25 and onward. And in this context of paying tax to the Roman Empire, the disciples of the Lord start thinking about God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, chapter 18 and verse 1. And they're thinking of the kingdom of God as or like an earthly kingdom. They're taking it for granted, of course, that they will be a part of that kingdom because of their physical nearness to the Messiah, the Son of God. And their thinking culminates in this question: Lord, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who is the greatest? They've got the Muhammad Ali syndrome. I'm not criticizing Muhammad Ali, because I think when he was saying that, a lot of it was showmanship. I'm not saying it was all showmanship, but a lot of it was, I am the greatest. And he was the greatest, of course, in my opinion anyway. The I am the greatest. Who is the greatest syndrome? But these disciples had that attitude, and they asked the Lord, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And in asking this question, they show the sin of pride being puffed up, because they wanted to know what position they actually had. That's what they truly wanted to know: their authority and their greatness in the kingdom of heaven. Now that's the context in which Jesus says these words. The Lord speaks and he shatters their proud view, that he shatters them taking for granted the kingdom of heaven and their own authority in it. How does he do that? He does so by taking a little boy and setting him in the midst of them. And then he says to the disciples, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's the context. Secondly, let's come to the exposition or the exegesis of the meaning of the words in the verse. Context first, secondly, the meaning, or the literal meaning of the words. Verse 3, except ye be converted. These are the words of Jesus. The word except means unless. You be converted. You be turned around. You be turned right around. The Greek word is strepho, which means completely changed. The word is sometimes used in physical terms for a change of direction, like in Acts chapter 13 and verse 26, where Paul says, I will now turn to the Gentiles. That's the exact same word. He's changing who he's speaking to, and now he's going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. A change. Or in Revelation chapter 6, the two witnesses, chapter 11, verse 6, one of them have power to turn water into blood, to change it, to turn it around, to change, to totally change its nature. Now, except you be converted, says Jesus. And the verb is an aorist, which is a past tense verb. And it's also a passive verb. So it's not something we do. It's something that God does to us. We are passive. Except you be converted. Except you are completely changed, and it's a past event. Unless you're completely changed, turn around and become as little children, to become, to be made. Again, the verb made is passive. We don't do it. God does it to us. And be made like little children. Matthew Poole says, children live upon their father's privilege. Because the Greek word for little children means very small children. Very small. And a little child is humble and absolutely dependent upon the parents and can do nothing for itself. That's how small the child is that the Lord's talking about. Except you be converted and become like little children, you shall not, you shall in no wise, in no way, enter the kingdom, go into the kingdom of heaven. And then in verse 4, the Lord says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself to bring low. Now this verb is active. This is something that we do. The conversion is God's work. And becoming as little children, being changed in that way, is we're passive. It's God's work. But this, whosoever therefore shall humble himself is our work. We are active in it. We are to bring ourselves low. And be humble actively in our lives. And the Lord says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself, the same, that very person is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What does it all mean? Well, Jesus says to these people, his disciples, unless you are converted, unless you're completely changed, and made humble and dependent like a little child upon the Lord, you'll never enter the kingdom. But the Lord says those who humble themselves, those who are humble and totally dependent upon God like a little child, that they are, present tense, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The greatest are the most humble. Third point, what is the teaching for you and me? Well, let's draw out a few things that we need to learn. We must learn from this passage and anyone listening on the internet too. First of all, let us not take our place in the kingdom of heaven for granted, like the disciples. It doesn't matter, you see, who we are associated with. You or I could be best friends with a very famous preacher. We could have close ties in high places in the Church of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't make any difference. We still must be converted. The disciples lived with the Lord Jesus for 3 years and were taught by him. Yet Jesus says to them, except you be converted, you won't even be in the kingdom. Never name be the greatest. Let us not take, or let no one take, their place in the kingdom of heaven for granted. Because it doesn't matter who we know, it doesn't matter who we're close to, The word is still the same, except you be converted. The second thing, subpoint B in application, or what this should teach us, is this. Conversion is experienced by us as a one-off event. It happens to us at some point in our lives, and from there on, it is past tense. We are converted. Something that happens and is done, and that's it. Am I converted? Are you converted? Subpoint C. Conversion makes a person humble, like a child. This turnaround, this change of direction, which we call conversion, it is a change from pride to humility. A converted person is someone who goes from thinking, I'm all right, Jack. I put my envelopes in the plate, or as many say, I was christened. I attend church. I do good turns for other people. Me. A converted person is someone who goes from that, and their attitude is totally changed. And instead of pride, you get humility. A converted person is someone who says, you know, I'm not okay. I'm not all right, Jack. And I need to be changed. And pride and self is removed or suppressed by the person that is converted, because that's our job. We are to humble ourselves. And a change takes place. I'm not good enough. I am not up to scratch. I am not the greatest. J.C. Ryle says the surest mark of true conversion is humility. That's a great quote, isn't it? Because it sums up these two verses in one little sentence. The surest mark of true conversion is humility. Except you be converted and become as little children, you not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself, that is the greatest in the kingdom. The surest mark of true conversion is humility. Subpoint D in lessons for us. Conversion, if we're converted, will make us childlike in our dependence upon the Lord. Except you be converted and become as little children. Now this is, of course, simply meaning we be humble and dependent upon the Lord. As some of the Puritans point out, in Germany, during the Reformation time, there were some extreme groups who took this literally, really, adults. And the Puritans criticised them, saying, quote, that some of them adults ran around the streets playing with rattles and sucking dummies to become as little children. That's pure nonsense. That is not, of course, what the Lord meant at all. It doesn't say except you be converted and become as little children, or you become immature. It's not talking about that, but humble and dependent upon the Father like a child. A child, when it is very small, is completely dependent upon the parents, isn't it? The child can't earn a living. Remember the wee toddler? They can't earn a living. Can they own a house? Nope. Can they cook for themselves? Nope. They can't bring themselves into life, nor can a little child stay alive by themselves. They are absolutely dependent upon the parents. And conversion makes us absolutely dependent upon God. I can do nothing in and of myself. I cannot save myself. I can't change myself. I can't even forgive others or myself. But God changed me. And God converted me, and God forgave me, and God gives me the grace to forgive myself and others. God does. God does it. That's why it's a passive verb, except you be converted. It's God that brings the change into a person's life. But the converted, when they're changed, when they're converted, they're totally dependent upon God, like a little child upon its father. You won't ever hear a converted person who is consistent justifying themselves, saying, well, I do this, and I do that, and I do the other thing, and I was christened. You'll never hear them saying that. Because a converted person owes their conversion absolutely to the Lord. Nothing to do with I did this or I did that. A converted person is dependent upon God. He is their salvation, the Lord Jesus, not our works. So what is the teaching from these two verses for you and I and everyone else? Don't take our place in the kingdom for granted. Conversion is a once-for-all experience. Conversion makes a person humble. Conversion makes the person absolutely dependent and childlike, dependent upon the Lord. Subpoint E, and we can't miss this one, conversion is a must. It's a must. It's an essential doctrine of the gospel. Verse 3, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom. In no wise. There is no other way. We have heard people in Northern Ireland say in the past, never, never. And they didn't mean never. But let me assure you, when Jesus Christ says never, you shall not, under any circumstance, you shall never enter into the kingdom of heaven except you're converted. He means it. The Lord is true to his word. He means it. And Jesus says to everyone, unless you're totally changed and become childlike in your dependence upon God, you shall never enter the kingdom of heaven. So I summarize so far, we've given the context, the exposition of the verses. The teaching for you and I has been point 3. Don't take our place in the kingdom for granted. Conversion is a once-for-all experience. It makes us humble, makes us dependent upon the Lord, and it is a must. Without being converted, no one is entering the kingdom. I conclude and briefly apply. I want to ask you and I, and everyone else who perhaps might be listening, and exhort you, in the light of the text, to be converted. Be changed. And you might say to me, but sure, that God does that. That's true. He does. That's why our cry to the Lord should never be, Lord, I have said this and I have said that. I have prayed the magic prayer. I have done that already. I have done this. I have done that. Therefore, I am saved. I am converted. No. Salvation, conversion, is not repeating words or parroting words in an attempt to prove I am converted. Salvation is our heart crying out, God, save me. Lord Jesus, change me. I cast myself upon the mercy of Jesus Christ. God, save me. God, help me. Conversion, you see, is the opposite of pride. Religious humility, dependence upon the Lord is what conversion is. It's saying, Lord, I am helpless and I am hopeless. And unless God converts me, I'm finished. It's not saying, who's the greatest? But it's saying, I am the least. Not what the Apostle Paul said. I am the least of all the apostles. And he meant it. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Unsaved, any unsaved listening, perhaps on the internet. You know, if there is anything physically that a Christian could do, you think about someone who you know who's lost. If there was anything that you could physically do that would guarantee their salvation, you would do it, wouldn't you? You would. Christians would do that for the lost. If I knew for certainty, which of course is total fantasy, but if I knew for certainty that if I attempted to swim across the Irish Channel to Scotland, that it would save someone who I know and love, and they would be converted, that gap was guaranteed, I'd have a go. You would. But it wouldn't make any difference, because salvation doesn't come in that way. Even if I was able to swim across the Irish Channel to try and convert someone, it wouldn't even begin to convert them. No matter what we do, we can't save people by anything we do. It doesn't matter who you know. It doesn't matter what they do for you. Jesus' words are still the same. Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Conversion is the only way. So I would urge all listening to repent and be converted today. What is the mark of conversion? Humility. That's the teaching of these verses. Now, I've finished. I just want to say one thing. Now, I know a pastor, and he's a good man. And he used to be, before he was converted, he used to be involved in the paramilitaries in Belfast. The loyalist paramilitaries. Now imagine if today or tomorrow someone was to go to that pastor and say to him, look, I know you from 40 or 50 years ago. I want you to get me an Armalite or an AK-47 assault rifle, so I can go and shoot Jerry Adams. Or I want you to get me a big bomb so I can blow up Sinn Féin. You know what that pastor would say? He would say, no, I'm not that man anymore. I'm a changed man now. Completely changed. I won't do that anymore. Why? Because he's converted. He is completely changed from what he was to what he is. That is true conversion. Big change. Thank you for listening this morning again, brethren, and may the Lord bless you. We'll continue our studies, God willing, in the weeks ahead.